The man who sold the world. After the death of Marcus Aurelius, the Roman Empire was ruled by inferior men. On the death of the Emperor Commodus, the throne was offered to Publius Pertinax, who was assassinated after ruling only 2 months. The Praetorian Guard, who really ruled Rome, were disgusted with the weak-kneed emperors who were destroying the grandeur that was Rome. They hit upon an audacious plan. It is 193 A.D. In the magnificent Roman Forum, a huge crowd is gathered. Claudius Cinna, captain of the Praetorian Guard, steps before the multitude.
Noblemen, members of the Senate, people of Rome, today I come before you on behalf of the Praetorian Guard for the purpose of acquainting you with the state of affairs of the Empire. You know that a few nights ago the Emperor Pertinax was assassinated by a mutiny of the soldiers. On his soul be peace. Many of you do not know that because of the weakness of some of our rulers, because of the revolt of our colonies over the corruption in our empire, the treasury of our mighty city of Rome is exhausted.
The treasury of the city of Rome is exhausted.
How the mighty have fallen, say I, that the city of Rome, which has ruled the world ever since Romulus and Remus, since our martyr Julius Caesar, since the glories of Augustus, should be forced to admit that her treasury is depleted by weak rulers who know more of eating and drinking than they do of ruling. So today, I, on behalf of your loyal Praetorian Guard, have come to auction off our magnificent city and our glorious empire to the highest bidder. Let any man who has wealth make a bid.
Who can bid for a city?
What? No man is patriot enough to bid for his empire. I myself will bid 500,000 sesterces. Come, Tulbizianos there. You are prefect of the city. Surely you will raise the bid.
550,000.
Ah, 550,000 sesterces. Tulpizianos has bid 550,000.
I bid 600,000 denarii.
What? Didius Julianus bid 600,000 denarii. That is 2,400,000 sesterces. Come, Tulpizianos. Surely, as prefect of the city, you will offer 100,000 more sesterces. What is 100,000 sesterces when your empire is on the auction block?
Come on! Very well! 2.5 million sesterces!
3 million sesterces!
Didius has bid 3 million sesterces! 3 million sesterces! Will nobody bid 3.5 million? Crassus, you there! You would pay 3 million for a palace. I myself saw you offer 500,000 for a slave girl.
Well, slave girl not as hard to handle as an empire.
My daughter is easy to handle, Crassus.
3 million sesterces. Going. Going. 3 million sesterces. Going. Going. What? Tulpizianos, you would allow Didius to outbid you? Going, going, gone for 3 million sesterces. The city of Rome and the empire of her glory sold to Didius Julianus for 3 million sesterces. Didius Julianus, come forward to take possession of your city and your empire.
Strange as it seems, the throne of the mighty Caesars and the entire Roman world were offered to the highest bidder at auction in the year 193 A.D. Didius Julianus outbid the others and bought the Roman Empire. He was eventually deserted by the Praetorian Guard. Septimus Severus was declared emperor, and Didius, the man who owned the world, was finally condemned and executed. Sergeant Molly Pitcher. In 1778, Sir Henry Clinton, commander of the British in the Revolutionary War, was forced to evacuate Philadelphia. George Washington overtook the British forces near Monmouth, New Jersey. Thus followed the famous Battle of Monmouth. It is in the thick of the battle, and the day is hot and sultry. One of the American gunners named Hayes is at his post firing the cannon. Mary, his wife, is risking her life bringing water to the troops.
Jack, Jack, you look sick. Are you wounded?
Mary, don't come here. You'll be killed. Get away.
Jack, something's the matter with you. You're so pale. Let me help you load that cannon.
No, I can do it alone. Get away, Mary. Please.
I'm not afraid. I've been carrying water all morning to some of those poor soldiers that are lying over yonder.
Look out, Mary. I'm going to fire this. Oh, I... It's so hot. I can't stand it much longer.
Jack, I knew there was something wrong. Let me help you. Jack, he's fainted. He's fainted from the heat.
What's the matter? Man wounded?
He's fainted from the heat, Captain.
You shouldn't be out here on the field. You'll be hurt.
I've been carrying water to the soldiers, Captain. I'm strong.
I'll give orders to have this cannon removed. There isn't anyone to take the man's place.
I'll do it.
You're a woman.
Look at me. I know how to use this rammer. See? I can load the cannon. And I can fire it.
Good work. Stand by, then. We need everyone we can get.
Yes, Captain.
Mary Hayes stands by her cannon until the battle is over and the Americans are victorious. The next morning, before the entire brigade, General Greene proudly presents the brave woman to the commander-in-chief, General George Washington.
Am I to understand, Mrs. Hayes, that you stood at your husband's gun and fired it during the entire battle?
Yes, General Washington.
Once more, General, she carried water to those poor devils who are lying wounded. The men have dubbed her Molly Pitcher.
Molly Pitcher. A worthy name. I like that name. It needs only one thing added.
Yes, General Washington.
Women such as you deserve as much honor as the bravest man. Therefore, I promote you, Sergeant, in the First Army of the United States of America, and you shall receive a pension for the rest of your life.
Oh, General Washington, I don't think that I really...
We salute you, Sergeant Mary.
Brigade! Brigade!
Forty-four years later, in the year 1822, Sergeant Mary is living in Philadelphia. Jack Hayes, her husband, has been dead for 34 years, and Mary is now married to George McCauley.
Well, what are you looking so sad about?
Oh, please, George. I'm tired. That's all.
And why are you tired? Because you spend the whole day on your hands and knees scrubbing floors?
Somebody has to earn a living.
Oh, I see. Holding that up to me again.
I don't mean to do that, George.
Besides, when we were married, you said that you were going to get a pension from the Army because you were a sergeant. I don't see any sign of it.
I know. General Washington told me himself that they would give me a pension. I didn't want it then.
when you're young. You never think of the time when you're old.
Well, why don't you say something? They probably forgot all about it.
I did happen to mention something about it today.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What?
I was down on my knees, as usual, scrubbing away, and the man came by. I looked up. And who do you think it was?
Well, how should I know?
It was the captain who had commanded the guns that day at Monmouth.
Well, well, did you tell him about not getting the pension?
Oh, George, I couldn't do that.
What?
We just talked about the old days.
You mean to tell me that you let a chance like that slip past you? Say, do you like to scrub floors?
Listen to me, George Macaulay. I didn't carry water to those boys on the battlefield because I wanted to get a pension for my country. I didn't stand by that gun and fire at the enemy because I was hoping for a few dollars. I did it because I loved my country and because I believed we were in the right. And if ever there was another war and I wasn't too old, I'd do it again. I'd do it again. Do you hear that? Do it again!
Sergeant Mary Hayes Macaulay, or Molly Pitcher, as she was called by the soldiers, was one of the great heroines of the Revolutionary War. Washington himself promised her a pension, but the government did not issue it for many years. Strange as it seems, after waiting for 44 years, Sergeant Mary finally received her pension. It was $40 a year, or about 11 cents a day.